Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one here on Cody and Gold. You heard it there from Sertler a little bit. The Chiefs re-signing Mike Pinnell, and also the Sausage once again going to reside in Kansas City. Fullback Anthony Sherman reportedly signing a one-year deal as well. Two minor moves, but also two fan favorites. I think people were excited to see both these guys back in a Chiefs uniform in 2020. Sherman for quite some time, obviously, and then Mike Pinnell became a fan favorite quickly and a crucial piece in the middle of that season in the addition to him. Very good chance at one point that he was going to end up in Green Bay, ended up in Kansas City, and he will be on the roster in 2020. I think this is just a couple minor moves, and cap-wise, I don't think it equates directly to having to make a massive change on the roster in terms of cutting Sammy Watkins or even a restructure. Maybe there's a chance LDT gets cut, but we'll have to see what some of the contracts are like for this, Cody. I don't know if they're going to have to do all that much. I know they're very, very limited on cap space, but both these deals should be pretty small.
Yeah, you would think so. And it's one of the more progressive offenses. It's funny to me that they keep having a fullback, which is fine.
True.
I mean, it seems to work. It's funny. Like, they're one of you're like, this is a really wide open offense. Still a fullback, huh? Interesting. Number two for what's trending, the NFL GMs are reportedly suggesting the NFL move the draft back, although word says the NFL itself has no real interest in doing that. They'd like to keep their original timeline in that. My original thought on it, let's keep it where it is. It's one of those things that GMs probably want it back because they want more research to get ready for what will be an odd draft no matter when it is, whether it's coming up at the end of April or if they pushed it into May or June. But still, problems will always be there under the coronavirus issues at the moment, which means pushing it back doesn't exactly solve the problem for me. I know why NFL GMs might want that thing pushed back, but in this case, I think they just have to work under kind of extreme conditions, try to do as much research as possible going into this thing, and then the smarter GMs, once again, will have the advantage over the ones who need a little more time to make those decisions. But you and I both know, Gold, GMs have been thinking about these players for years. Doesn't mean they had every decision made, but they've got more than enough time and enough research to make a decision coming in April.
No question. I just think, I don't know how much of a delay and impact it has if you push it back a week or two. We are all football starved, sports starved at this point in time, and the draft had already been moved out of Vegas, out of a fan atmosphere to in studios. So other than just selfishly wanting it on TV as soon as possible, I think there is a chance, let's say in the middle of May, if you're allowed to have people back at your team facility in the NFL, again, nothing to do with fans, if that makes things a little bit more smooth for GMs across the NFL, if it means just moving it back 10 to 14 days, if you feel that's really what's going to be needed, I don't have an issue with it other than just, you know, wanting that. And I thought Adam Schefter's idea, though, of having around each night for 7 nights on television instead of over, you know, a Thursday night first round and then the rest of the draft Friday and Saturday. I would be all about that. Even if, honestly, Cody, even if they left it on the current date, I wouldn't mind if they decided to spread it out a couple more days as well, whether it's to help GMs or just selfishly give us something to watch each and every night. We can't watch Tiger King, as I've said, forever. Number three, we're gonna run on what's trending.
I think you guys have already baseball. Run out.
I got two episodes left. We're talking Tiger King around 12:40. Honestly, I'm like way more excited about that than probably anything else we have to discuss today on the show. That show has me hooked. Number three on what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Baseball getting closer perhaps to figure out how they're going to approach the eventual start that we hope to have for the Major League Baseball season. A deal with the MLB Players Association, part of this would advance a portion of players' salaries and issues with the other labor-related dealings, you know, service time, for example. And also, I think the key thing here is that, according to Jeff Passan, multiple players told ESPN they're willing to play a significant number of doubleheaders, as many as two per week, to make up for the lost games and try to get as close to a full 162-game schedule as possible. Baseball, I get it. You want to play 162. You want to have as many games as possible. There's obviously revenue that is going to be lost and is already being lost by not having games. I just don't think it's realistic to have a bunch of doubleheaders just to get to 162 or even to get to 140 unless you think you're really starting this thing in May. If we're talking June and July, I think this needs to be a season fewer than 100 games. I don't want baseball postseason taking place near Thanksgiving and into December.
I mean, I don't prefer that, but I can tell you right now, baseball is going to maximize the number of games they get no matter when they put this season in, which probably means more doubleheaders, which probably means expanded rosters, even beyond the 26-man they were going to add this season, which probably means more young players to be seen that are just worse 4A players to be seen all the time. Oh, God, please let it be the other way. I want to see better players, not worse players. But I'm open to the idea of trying to get those games in only because I think the MLB is forced to do that. The way I want to do that is to still get it in so that baseball can be played at a normal time come the postseason to avoid neutral side stuffs. Obviously, I think they should just cut the season down. But I also know that both the players and the league want their full checks, and that's why they're willing to play the doubleheaders as well. Number four on what's trending, K-State agrees to a multi-series deal with Nebraska in basketball, starting at Sprint Center next year. Looks like it should expand 5 years out. A couple of games in Lincoln, couple games in Manhattan. I like to see the former Big 12 teams finally willing to put a few deals together down the road in both basketball and football. We know that MU and KU are slated to start playing here again soon as well. I think this makes sense for K-State and Nebraska, former Big 12 rivals, to get back together again. Seems like an okay deal on both sides.
Oh, I love the old rivalries. Nebraska won 7 games. K-State won 10. I know both teams are going to look a lot different next year. We'll see. It's a long-term agreement. It's not just for the next year or so,
no,
or anything like that. But in what starts in Lincoln in 2021, but still, we'll see. I mean, both programs are not in the best spots at this particular time. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up at 12:30, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, going to join us, brought to you by Unlimited RV. We'll get his thoughts on what we just mentioned when it comes to baseball, close to working out how maybe they're going to deal with this season after the stoppage or even during the stoppage when it comes to how they're going to take care of players. And, you know, is there some silver lining if you're a Royals fan and the benefit that maybe it could give you if the season is shortened or starts later? Do we see some of these young guys? We'll ask Vern about that in just a little bit. A reminder, you can listen to us from home. Maybe you're already doing that. Everybody's stuck at home for the time being. You can listen on the radio.com app or your favorite smart speaker. It's pretty straightforward with that. You just say, listen to 610 Sports Radio, Kansas City. Alex Gold, Steven Serta, Cody Tab with you, all three of us in different locations. Cody from the basement right now. The kids, have they even come down to try to hop on the air yet?
No, but one was sticking his head through the cat door for a little bit. So not technically there's a door stopping them, so you know, it's hard to open doors when you're one, but yeah, one was sticking his head through the cat door briefly, but that has passed. It's almost nap time. It's like 20 minutes from my kid's nap time, so it's about to get real quiet in the tap household.
So far, I haven't heard them one bit, so everything is good there. Serta still has access to all the vending machines and the company kitchen and everything, even though he's back at the studio. So I think, Serta, do you like having us not there consistently? Do you like just having the whole place to yourself? Because I would imagine there's pretty much nobody in the entire building.
No, there's like seven people in the whole building. It's easier in some ways because it's harder for me to be super actively involved in the show because, you know, when you guys are in studio, we have cues and stuff for each other that make it easier to make our production sound a lot bigger than it is. Can't really do that with you guys in two separate locations. So I have to hang back a little bit more, but I have to do a lot more stuff as far as like playing sound and everything. But I don't really mind the peace and quiet.
Yeah, I would imagine it is a little bit quieter around the building as well, and everything different for everyone out there listening. It's just a different, weird feeling whether you do run to the grocery store and you're driving there and there's nobody on the roads or just waking up and working from your couch. It's just a strange times for everybody. We appreciate you guys being with us, and hopefully we're having some fun with you guys here each and every day, 10 to 2, and break things up and kind of get away from what has become the norm, no doubt about that.
I need human interaction. Can we just schedule one of those, like, drinking Zoom videos where we, like, all have a beer together with a couple of listeners? Because I need some human interaction at some point in my life.
I'm supposed to do that with some friends on Thursday night.
Same.
Yeah, on
also on Thursday.
There's, like, the shot. People are, like, sharing shots, and someone tags you. You're supposed to take a video of yourself taking a shot and then tag somebody else. Is that a challenge you'll actually do, Serta?
Wait, what is the challenge?
Just someone
just
for instance,
to take a
I
shot.
Would, yeah, you take a shot, and then I would challenge you to take a shot. You just take a shot on video. Apparently, I saw that going around on Instagram last
so
night.
So you take a shot and then challenge someone else to take a shot. You don't actually have to do anything. You just take shots.
Yeah, it's a shot challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a bottle of tequila at the house that I haven't been drinking much this week, but over the weekend I sip on it a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe we'll have to do that challenge as well. We'll see how everybody's going. We can interact with each other there on Twitter as well. You guys can let us know some ideas for that at Alex Gold, at Cody B. Tapp, at Steven Serta. Now, as far as the Chiefs go, in this offseason, we've, I think, made it pretty clear where we view the Chiefs are at and whether or not they're not being aggressive enough or how we think things are going. Are they doing just fine as far as sitting back a little bit and seeing how the market comes to them? Colin Cowherd of the Herd, of course, on Fox Sports Radio. He went through some of his rankings right now in the NFL. Here's where he has the Chiefs.
Number 2.
Kansas City. Not a lot of moves. I love where they're going. Post-Super Bowl, a little hangover, a little party. I think their division's tougher. I think Denver's going to be a lot better. I think the Raiders have improved. I think the Chargers get a quarterback. So Kansas City could be good, but they could lose two more games next year just because the division's tougher.
So that was Colin Cowherd. First off, he has them number 2, and I believe it's the Ravens are at number 1. And I know Serta would agree with that right now, and I think Cody as well, just based off the roster, based on their improvements to the roster. I just think it's an unfinished thing right now because as things stand right now, Chris Jones is still on the roster for Kansas City. Sammy Watkins is still on the roster for Kansas City, and we don't have our resolution on what that is going to be, and the Chiefs clearly aren't done with what they're going to do this offseason. So I guess if you want to put Baltimore at 1 right now, that's fine. I'll go ahead and give you that at this point. I don't think it necessarily will end there. But the interesting part to me more so was what he said about the division, the AFC West. He thinks the Chiefs could lose two more games. Now, I don't know if he meant like overall. I think he was saying that there's going to be two losses in the AFC West.
Yeah, since when? Like, one, putting the Chiefs and the Ravens in the same playing field, again, is not outlandish to me. I think the only reason people knock the Ravens down as far as they do is because they lost to the Titans. They were a great team last year. They're returning a large majority of their team. I like their offseason moves. They're going to be on equal footing in the regular season, I expect, as the Chiefs. As far as two losses in the West, why? Kansas City has completely dominated that division every single year that Andy Reid has been here, and it hasn't mattered who the quarterback of the Chargers Raiders or Broncos has been. And the Raiders are going to have the same quarterback they've had the entire time during Andy Reid. The Chargers currently have a worse quarterback than they've had the entire time under Andy Reid. And the only remaining team, the Broncos, have a quarterback who, you've pointed out correctly, Gold, has only started four games. So we don't have a full answer on that guy either. I don't see how you could see, other than the fact, I mean, I get that some of those teams have gotten a little better, but there's no reason for me to think right now that the AFC West is a further real threat than they have been to the Chiefs in any other year, because every other year where they've essentially won almost every single AFC West game, they've had real contenders. The Chargers have had really good teams a couple of times during Andy Reid's time. The Raiders have had playoff teams a couple of times with Andy Reid shuffling around. And has it ever stopped them from beating the West? No.
Oh, Kansas City is in a position to continue to go on this run through the AFC West and go on a run like what we saw the Patriots do, at least in the division. Who knows about everything else, but at least in the division, their dominance of the AFC East. I think that's what we're going to see for a while and continue to see in the AFC West. Derek Carr can't win in Kansas City. Derek Carr can't play in cold weather. Something changed this offseason. All of a sudden, he magically is going to be that. I'm not so sure he's going to finish the year as a starting quarterback in Las Vegas for the Raiders. So it's definitely not, I don't think it's coming from the Raiders. And yeah, the Broncos are going to be a better team. And as we've discussed about, you know, their plan, maybe long-term, you may like. But this coming season, I don't think you're going to be picking the Broncos to beat the Chiefs anytime soon. Even if Drew Lock impresses some people. And then, yes, the Chargers, we don't know what that quarterback situation is. I like what they've done this offseason. I just don't understand how you haven't gone out and either, whether it's Cam Newton or Jameis Winston. Obviously, they tried to get Tom Brady out there in L.A. He ended up in Tampa. We'll see what they do on the draft. But to suggest all of a sudden that the AFC West is going to be a challenge for Kansas City, I think is far-fetched. We didn't say that about the AFC East, and all of a sudden that there were going to be years where the teams were going to really push them. Look what happened. They tried. How many different quarterbacks did teams try to roll out there? And you made a good point about the Chargers overall. It's like they weren't able to get it done even when Phillip Rivers was there. And with Tyrod Taylor, it's not. There's no way that's going to be any better. If anything, it's going to be way worse, at least for the start of that season and a year where we don't know what that quarterback situation looks like. So I don't understand where all of a sudden we're supposed to think the Chiefs aren't going to continue, at least for one more year minimum, continue the dominance in the AFC West. Over on the text line, 69306, someone said, well, we did dominate Denver when Peyton was there. So someone's saying, just because, I guess, trying to make the correlation that, okay, if Mahomes, we weren't supposed to beat the Denver Broncos. Text line saying that Andy Reid did not dominate the division his first 3 years. Peyton destroyed us.
Dominate is probably strong, but look at Andy Reid's record over that time. And Peyton did not dominate the Chiefs at any one time. The Chiefs have now won, what, 10 straight against Denver? So obviously, like, domination is reason. But they held their own against Kansas City. Not to say, you know, Chargers or Raiders, Broncos. Like, they've all played close in the last couple of years, except for the Broncos, who have mostly just been wiped off the board. But again, picking out two more losses in the West with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback in the same situation or worse at quarterback? No. No.
Yeah, Cody.
No, that's silly.
Since 2015, they've lost only three games in the AFC West.
Yeah, they're supposed to lose two next year because what? The Raiders are slightly better.
So that's. I mean, that is just a stat.
Every team in the division is better.
Sure, they may be better.
The one team that's worse is the Chargers. They're not better because they don't have a quarterback.
But they might. They're going to do there.
Fine. They might get better, but they're worse right now. Raiders are better, I guess. They're exactly the same. Yeah. And then the Broncos are better because I've liked a lot of their offseason moves, but the Broncos are a little better. The Raiders are better and have a chance to be a decent amount better if their draft goes anywhere close to last year's. But the Chargers are still much better. And, that small gap to me, they dominated the division last year. They're going to need to make up more than a little bit in order to make me feel like two extra losses are coming in the division.
Yeah, we'll see what happens the rest of this offseason. And maybe there are more competitive games and they're going to be tougher contests and all that. And, to two losses right away all of a sudden, based on just what history would tell us, does seem a little bit outlandish overall. As far as the offseason and what the Chiefs are going to do as far as signing people and what we've seen from Pinnell as we led with the What's Trending and Anthony Sherman. And I think immediately people said, well, this must mean we're going to get an answer on Sammy Watkins. Maybe we are closer to that answer. I don't think you have to assume that, well, in order to make room when these deals are official, because by the way, Anthony Sherman and Mike Pinnell's signings haven't officially been announced yet, so the Chiefs still have some time to figure out the cap situation. There could be other restructures other than Watkins. There could be a move with LDT. There could be the Chris Jones factor. I think immediately people were like, oh, this must mean they're restructuring Sammy Watkins or they're cutting him 100%. And it's not that simple.
No, but it is not that simple. But I still think that moves are coming around for this team as it sits, just because it feels like other things have to happen. And aren't, like as you said, their roster right now, are they worse? Who have they lost that have made them worse? The cornerbacks. And we expect them to address that, right? So if you have to say right now, the Chiefs are a little bit worse than they were last year. But also, they were better than their record last year because they missed several games with Patrick Mahomes, and it took a while to learn a defensive system. If Jones and Watkins are there, as we count them right now, just like I count the Chargers as not having a quarterback, they're not way worse. They're pretty equal footing. They're going to be a little worse, probably, the Chiefs roster-wise, just based on the cornerback position I might not trust as much, but they're not going to be so far off that I don't think they're still going to dominate this division. As far as the second team in the NFL, that to me seems like way less of a stretch. I think they're the best team in the NFL, but I think they are 1A and 1B with the Ravens in the AFC. Serta thinks that the Ravens might have a better roster, and he's probably got a pretty good point. I know you still see a gap between the two, but I think a lot of that is just based on, you know, how much better the Chiefs look towards the end of the season, and assuming that that's the team they're going to be at the beginning of the season, which does not seem outlandish to me.
Yeah, majority of the team we expect, and Chris Jones is the big X factor there, majority of the team we expect to be intact. The key guys that matter most, again, Chris Jones, the big question, but the key guys are all going to be back for Kansas City. And I do think, you know, just on Baltimore's route, there's some challenges that may present itself there in their own division. For example, we just talked about the AFC West. Are there two losses for the Chiefs out there? I do believe the AFC North is going to be way more competitive than it was a season ago. I'm not going to go crazy and say the Cleveland Browns, just because of their offseason like people did last year, are all of a sudden going to compete to make the playoffs or be a contender in the AFC or anything crazy like that. But I do think top to bottom, that AFC North should be a lot better than it was a year ago. I know your opinion on Big Ben is a little bit different than mine as far as what he potentially still has left in the tank, but I think it's going to be a little bit tough for task in their own division next year, and it's just an incomplete offseason for both teams, but specifically for the Chiefs, because the two biggest questions right now are really the three, if you want to add in the Mahomes contract extension, which we all expect at some point. I mean, those haven't been done yet. Just because the order you do things is different doesn't mean you haven't improved your roster. Like, if the Chiefs, we could be sitting here and say the Ravens hadn't done anything, the Chiefs have made these moves, and wow, the Chiefs are further distancing themselves from the Baltimore Ravens. You put the shoe on the other foot. It's a timing thing for me. Maybe if one team's not as patient as the other, or one team fan base isn't as patient as the other, let's see where things are at a month from now, and I wonder if people's answer will be a little bit different.
But to you, just real quick, because I know we need a break. What is the best-case scenario for the Chiefs improving their roster considering their financial situation?
Right. I've said kind of the
quarterback
way
makes
for
it
me,
the same.
The rest of the offseason for me is actually moving on from Sammy Watkins, cutting him, going out and signing a veteran corner or two. Prince Amukamara is still out there, for example. Signing Chris Jones to a long-term contract. And, yeah, all these scenarios involve hitting on the draft. You've got to continue to draft if you want long-term success. Brett Veach last year was successful at doing that. For me, the biggest thing is I do think they need to move on from Sammy Watkins, even if it is on a $9.5 or $10 million contract, and then it's signing Chris Jones to a long-term contract and making sure you have one of the best defensive players in all of football on your team for the next 3 to 5 years.
I hope they keep them both, I think, at this point. I just don't think they're going to get a better third wide receiver option for $2 million. So whatever, just do Sammy Watkins another year.
Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll go out to our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. What are his thoughts on the proposal that maybe is out there for the Major League Baseball season and some alterations to it? And Tiger King It's a new sensation. We all took part in watching that a little bit. Plenty of thoughts on that next.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Back here on Cody and Gold. If you're stuck at home, you can listen on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google. Play 610 Sports Radio, Kansas City. You can also listen on the radio.com app, making it easy for you as we're all broadcasting from home in different locations today as well. Coming up in 10 minutes, the number one trending show on Netflix has me absolutely hooked. I think all three of us watched at least one or two episodes last night. Some of us maybe watched five or six, or other people around the station watched the entire series already in one night. So that's coming up in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, we want to get back into baseball and where things stand right now in terms of the suspension of the start of the MLB season and what could it mean for some of the young players on this Royals roster or the Royals organization. We go out to the 610 hotline. Welcome in our Royals Insider, brought to you by Unlimited RV. Of course, Josh Vernier can be heard on the Hot Stove tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Vern, what's going on, man? We should be 24 hours from opening day. You're a little sad today, knowing that we're not going to get that?
Yeah, without question. I do have a question for you guys, though, Cody in particular, because that show that you're referencing, I am two episodes in and was told by my wife to watch no more because I have to save the rest of it to watch with her because she saw you guys and many others talking about how crazy this Netflix show is. Are you guys for or against saving shows to watch them as a couple?
I'm both. I think you have to have shows that it's fine that you watch together, but you definitively need your own shows that you're not sticking around waiting for. I'm not saving every show. You want to save a couple, cool. We got a couple in the coffer, all right. But I think that you can't, like, hold me hostage for, like, 10 shows, because then, Vern, you know, we'll never get through anything.
No question. And normally my shows are sports, and obviously those are not happening. And with my wife being a nurse, I feel as if I need to be extra supportive right about now. So I'm basically doing whatever she says.
I think that's smart.
So what the hell are you watching? You've got to be getting stir crazy.
Yeah, I am. I'm watching a lot of MLB Network. They've been airing a lot of just old baseball shows and highlight packages and whatnot. I'm still getting my fix. To answer your first question, Alex, yes, I am sad about tomorrow, but I'm happy to know that most of my friends and family are all feeling well.
Vern, when you're thinking about the way this season's going to go, Jeff Passan had put out his story earlier today suggesting some of the things baseball was looking at, still hoping for an early June start, multiple doubleheaders a week, playing games later into the year, possible neutral site baseball. Are there any that you find unpalatable, ones that you would just hate to see? Because I think all of us would just say shorten the damn season. But if we know they're not going to do that, are any of those ideas that maybe Jeff Passan was kicking around that the league is bother you so much that you would just want them to completely not do it?
No, because, you know, we're all hip to the game, right? As far, look, I, for one, am a huge proponent of shortening the season. I think that is a necessity for the long-term health of the sport. I think it's silly to try and get as many games as possible in over the next few months, whenever baseball is given the green light, you know, multiple doubleheaders. I think it's silly. I think the product will suffer. Yes, they will have expanded rosters and whatnot, but I think the game will suffer. It'll look desperate, and it'll continue to paint baseball in a negative light. Sure, opening day will be a big deal, but after that, I feel as if the narratives that have been around Major League Baseball for years will only intensify if you're seeing 4A pitchers out there in the second game of a doubleheader in the eighth inning of that second game when it's you know, 10-2 and no one's interested. I would like to see a shortened season, but again, I'm hip to the game and I understand money rules everything. The owners want theirs, the players want theirs, and the only way for both sides to be happy could be cramming as many games in as possible.
We're talking with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier, here on Cody and Gold, brought to you by Unlimited RV. I'm sure you've seen the proposal that was thrown out there from Scott Boras. He says, 162-game season, and let's play a World Series on Christmas Day. Is that just Scott Boras being Scott Boras, or do you think there is a scenario where this postseason for the season upcoming, if we get to that point, could go into November and ultimately into December, even at neutral sites?
Well, I think it will go into November, regardless of how many games they end up playing. The neutral site idea, you know, I can have that conversation if we're talking about the World Series, if you want to start treating the World Series like the NFL does the Super Bowl, where every year the World Series is in a different city. But if you're talking about doing that throughout the postseason, that to me is going to be an unmitigated disaster. Miami, Los Angeles, if the ALCS happens to be Kansas City against Oakland, you're going to see half-full stadiums to watch the ALCS, and that would be, again, a disaster. The World Series, I think people would travel for, so that would be fine. But the reason why October is so very special, and we all lived it just a handful of years ago, is that buzz in the stadium, that buzz throughout the city, the buzz throughout the entire state. That, to me, the thing that is great about baseball, which is something that is also its detriment, is how provincial it is, how much you care about your team and only your team. That shines through in October. And that's a dark cloud over the regular season because many people in Kansas City don't care about the Angels or Yankees, Marlins or Mariners. Baseball has to find a way to make each game more important. And again, I think that goes back to shortening the regular season. But as far as neutral sites in October, I think it would work for the World Series. But the series before that, I think it would. It would turn out very poor.
Here's a two-parter for me in relation to that, Vern. If you're saying twice weekly doubleheaders, what roster sizes are we talking about for the rest of the regular season? 30? And does that mean we're going to get more guys like Scott Blewett, or are we going to actually see Brady Singer sooner? That's what you're talking about, that 4A thing. Like, if teams have a player like Brady Singer, does he get more time, or do we see more out of those 4A players in the early going?
Yeah, 30 at least, right? That would be the starting point. But, man, multiple doubleheaders a week, you wonder if that goes up to 32 maybe, 32 position players, or 32 players, period. I don't know if they're going to cap it at 17 pitchers like they currently have the cap at 13 pitchers with a 26-man roster. That'll be interesting to see, but I think 30 at minimum is where they would need to go to. And then as far as the type of players that we're going to see on the team, man, I would really be interested to hear the spin from the organization if Brady Singer isn't one of those 32. Right. Because the guy's already one of the 13 best pitchers, one of the 5 best starters in this organization, but I think we can understand why you want him to start in the minor leagues, overcome some adversity, or build up some confidence before making that big league debut a month or two into the season. But if you're expanding rosters that much, and you have the aforementioned, with all due respect to soft tossers like Eric Skoglund and Foster Griffin and Scott Blewett, if you got those guys coming out there getting more than likely tattooed when you have an ace in the hole, no pun intended, with Brady Singer, that's going to be a difficult sell to fans and to the media. So my answer would be Brady would have to be on the team if you go 30, 32 players. And if he isn't, Dayton is a very forthright individual. It's a very honest organization talking about the Royals. So I just don't know what the reasoning would be to not have, shoot, Singer and Kowar on the team.
Vern, tomorrow night, of course, you got the
idea that we were kicking around.
Oh, go ahead, Cody.
Sorry, just real quick, Vern. We were kicking around the idea about the possibility of how they were going to change it. One idea Gold hated that I was at least curious what you thought about was, what if they did double headers but the second game was seven innings? Would that bother you?
I'll be honest. I'm a proponent of the game, period, going to seven innings across the board. So no, that wouldn't bother me. No. Short answer is no, that wouldn't bother me. But the thing that's kind of bouncing around in my head as I answer that is, the players' union, getting them on board as far as, you know, certain incentives and whatnot, and how much that would affect, again, the money coming into the pockets of the big league players as they get ready for arbitration years and, you know, free agency. But no, I'd be in favor of that immensely. Both games should be seven innings.
Vern, what do you got in store tomorrow night? Of course, everybody can hear Josh Vernier on the Royals Hot Stove, 6 o'clock on Thursdays.
Yeah, I'm going to go over, well, we're going to be joined more than likely by pitching coach Cal Eldred to get an idea of how long spring training part two will need to be. The communication that he's had with the aforementioned Brady Singer, Jackson Kowar, and the rest. But I want to discuss some of these rule changes that have been proposed by Major League Baseball, and that I want to have a real, open, frank conversation with real diehard baseball fans about what must happen going forward to make this game viable. Baseball's never going to die, but baseball's going to continue to be stuck in the mud in fourth place behind the NFL, college football, and the NBA unless they make drastic changes. We'll discuss all of that Thursday night at 6.
We'll be listening. That's Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, brought to you by Unlimited RV. We'll also let you get back. Maybe you should sneak in one more episode of Tiger King this afternoon.
All right, let's just keep it between us. Don't tweet anything, please.
All right, that's Josh.
I'm only two episodes in, so we're in the same spot, Vern.
All right.
You guys are just a couple episodes in. I know Serta is 5 in. I barely started episode 6. We had a few people texting us on the text line 69306 asking what show and where they watched it. Tiger King, it's on Netflix and everybody's been talking about it. It is the number one show. Yes. On Netflix. Is that the tiger? Did you get that tiger from the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer film studio right before all the Bond movies? That's all I can picture when I heard that tiger sound, by the way.
No, it's just a bank of sound effects. I can literally just keep it running, and it'll just go over and over again.
Yeah, the tiger's in the background. So Tiger King is on Netflix. Everybody is talking about it. It's Tiger King Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. And so there's a zoo owner, Joe Exotic. And he eventually is like spiraling out of control, but it's not just him, Cody. It's sort of like, I thought it was just about him. There's this whole world of big cat breeding, and all these people are nuts. It has everything. This show has everything. You name it, it's got cults, it's got three-way marriages, it's got murder, everything.
I honestly, we're going to spend the next like 13 minutes on this. I've only watched 2 episodes, and it does not even begin to give us enough time to watch it. So if you haven't watched the first 2 episodes, look, I'm sorry if I ruined some things for you, but in no way can I properly describe what you're going to see in the first 2 episodes anyway. Because in 2 episodes, I have to decide, one, is every person in this show operating a cult? 2, did someone murder their husband? 3, did someone go back to work 10 days after their arm got bitten off by a tiger?
Yeah,
like,
there's
so many things that happened within the first 2 episodes. I can't even, like,
oh,
it's so much,
I mean,
to take in.
$125 a week. These people have them brainwashed. It is like a cult.
The people that work for Carol are just working for free.
Yeah, she's got the game figured out. She's smarter than She's smarter than Joe and Doc and these other characters. She's not doing anything different than they are in terms of her claiming she's this conservatory and all this kind of stuff, conservation place, I should say. She's just found out a way to brainwash some people as well in a different way, and that is making them think she's doing something for good. So, yeah, they're working for free. It is a show that reminded me of how hooked I was. You guys have seen Making a Murderer, I'm sure. There's two seasons of it, and it's like it tells, you know, the whole story of how someone was potentially, you know, the differences in the justice system and how economic impacts it, and what's true, what's not. And I was absolutely hooked to that show. This show is the same for me. Like, it has everything. I'm hooked. I almost watched the whole thing last night. I'm going to be, when I get home from work today, after the show, I'm going to watch the final two episodes. And everybody's talking about it. It is a much-watched show right now.
Like, for me, there's just, like, I don't know what my biggest question is in the first couple of episodes. The murder thing was just really passed over very quickly with Carol Baskin. So I've got more questions there. But, like, Bhagavan, who was calling himself a doctor the entire time, it turns out he calls himself a doctor of mystic arts, is definitively running a cult. I think there's a pretty good chance Joe Exotic is running a cult, and even uses the word cult.
And Joe Exotic is just giving those people drugs. The other guy is definitely running a cult.
Well, his employees are dedicated. And I'll definitively give him that. And I don't know what other weird way this is going to take. Because I don't want you guys to ruin it for me because you're further down. But in the two episodes I've seen, and that's, I guess, we can continue this conversation tomorrow when maybe I get a little bit further along in this thing. But, I mean, where to even start with just the general business model that is wild pet exotic training? They got to the third guy there who's driving like a Bentley into his house. Who's a former felon who's apparently dealing
Lowe.
In these things.
The Cuban guy that they called Scarface?
Yeah, the Cuban guy.
Oh, that guy, too.
That guy.
I don't remember his name, but yeah, that guy's legitimately terrifying. That guy will feed a tiger to somebody. Or feed somebody to a tiger.
Yes. And has, on multiple occasions, I have to assume. There's just so many things going on. I'm fascinated by where it goes next. You know, I'd actually heard of Joe Exotic because they were running some of his ad campaigns on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. So I'd actually seen this guy mentioned before, only to find out that, like, all of this is going on besides it. Like, I have a lot of questions about Joe Exotic and how he became the person he is.
Shaq tried to buy a tiger from
president. He ran for president.
Who tried to buy a tiger from him?
Shaq.
Yeah,
oh, man.
There's a cut.
Is that later on in the series?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was in the first two episodes. They show Shaq talking to him. It might have been in episode 3.
It's later in.
But I also remember the story of Shaq getting in trouble for purchasing tigers that you're not allowed to purchase.
Right, and the show he was someone that was added into the story. Each episode, it takes a turn that you truly don't expect, and it just gets crazier and crazier as it goes on. And I still think whenever we're done watching it, we're gonna have a million more questions. Like, that's why I'm hooked, is because I have so many questions after each and every episode about how crazy these people are. But we can say it's like it's all crap, but and you hear the story named Tiger King, you're like, what on earth, why am I gonna be interested in this? But I'm telling you, if you watch one episode, there's no way you're not gonna want to finish the whole thing. And there's no way you cannot just tell me you're gonna watch one and not watch more than that after.
We didn't even mention the polygamy. Can we, like, is that even something we're going to discuss here?
Like, yeah, that Bhagavan guy or whatever his name is, he's creepy and he only wants virgins and he's married to, he won't even say how many people.
I'm genuinely concerned for most of the people who are living on both of those properties. That I can't get over that one girl going back to work after her arm got bitten off by a tiger. And then they gave her the choice. They're like, hey, so it's going to be like years of reconstructive surgery, or we're going to have to do amputation. She's like, that's cool, just cut it off. And then 10 days later, she's like, yeah, I'll figure out how to use this, and it's fine. You're like, this is insane.
Yeah,
who are these people? Where do they find this many people?
That, they're paying the people that go to these places, they're paying $500 to $600 minimum to go and pet, you know, basically pet these baby tigers as well. It's not cheap. Like, who are the people that are spending $600 to go to these places to begin with?
They show one guy Shaq. Who was like, this is the second time we've been here this week.
Shaq and other.
This is the second time we've been here this week. It's unbelievable. Okay. So Carol obviously killed her husband. Like, we can all agree on that. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. But
or hired somebody.
You can't go anywhere on Facebook, whoa, Twitter, whatever right now without them talking about it.
Wait, but I'm only two episodes in, and it is not definitively clear. Really, it's just two crazy people saying that Carol fed her husband to the tiger. Do we get more clarity on that going forward?
Oh, yeah, episode three is all about it.
You'll have a good idea of where you lean on that. I don't know if she actually did it. She may have hired somebody. I don't think she necessarily fed him to a tiger.
Carol's crazy.
You actually think, you believe the meat grinder conspiracy?
No, but I think that she killed him.
Okay. All right, just wait. Text line 69306. Tiger King was nuts. Finished that, now hooked on Designated Survivor. Two completely different shows, but okay. Exotic Joe holding a baby tiger saying, here's $5,000. Yeah, it is an unbelievable show.
I'll watch more tonight so we can talk more about it tomorrow. Listener interaction 69306. We are continuously curious about other people's theories on this show. I think they're all in a cult. I think there's probably some murder involved. At least one dude is considered having sex with a tiger. And then beyond that, I'm still just lost.
Wait, where'd you get the last part there? You think that's going on as well?
He keeps calling him sexy all the time.
Yeah,
he calls them sexy like 47 times in the first two episodes. I can't overlook that.
I don't think he's sleeping with the tigers.
I don't think that tiger's going to let you do that.
I said I thought he'd think about it.
I don't think you talk about getting bit. I don't think that's going to turn out well for anybody.
That lady that got her arm torn off, that whole scene was just awful. Like, they actually showed her on the ground with half an arm, and they were freaking out. They were just like, yeah, the arm's gone. The arm's gone.
And then he had a paramedic's jacket on for some reason. Joe Exotic did. Did anybody else notice that?
That guy, he's an absolute character.
Why does he own him?
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.